Headline News with Resistance Chicks. We're your hosts, Leah and Michelle. So this has been a week. So Leah, yeah. There's a digital ID system that could convict you without, like, I mean, what?
That's what we're looking towards. We're looking towards the digital ID. China already has it.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about
it's terrifying.
The congressional hearing on books being banned and passages that are read in kids' books.
Ron Johnson will make your face blush.
Actually, it was Senator Kennedy.
Oh, was it Kennedy? Oh, my gosh. Kennedy. I thought that was Ron Johnson. Oh, well, more kudos to Senator Kennedy there.
Yeah.
Why did I think it was Ron Johnson? That's the same person in my head.
Yeah. We only have a few that stand up for what's right. But this was a hearing on books being banned and should be banned.
What's going on in Australia?
Well, talking about the digital talking about censorship, you have the same thing happening in Australia where the state is controlling people's speech, just like here in America.
And the Democrats throwing shade at Kamala Harris. We got all that and so much more coming up right after these messages. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Mike Adams here with an operator, a deployment leader on the Texas southern border who's been using these satellite-based bivy sticks for very effective communications. And he's here just give us a few words about how these bivy sticks are operating, how it's helping he and his team members. And remember, these are available through the satellite phone store, sat123.com. It's satellite-based text messaging. Works when no cell towers work or aren't reachable.
We use these to communicate GPS cords to when we are seeing drug runners or people carrying stuff. We've had, bust up to 13,600 pounds worth of marijuana and fentanyl that we have been on operations with in conjunction with federal agents and supporting them in their operations.
So they are pro-America and pro-humanitarian in helping to keep our country and our community safe. Everybody, God bless America. Take care.
SAT123.com. They have put together a really incredible package. Emergency backup communication systems, power systems. We've got sat phones. We've got solar panels and also the big 400 watt solar panel behind us there. And why does this matter? Because of course, right now we are dealing with massive risk of blackouts and the power grid is just failing, intermittently, but it's going to get worse because we've also got energy shortages. Think about the lack of coal power, the diesel problems that are happening right now. If you're in the military or the National Guard or Border Patrol, or law enforcement, and you need to be able to function even when the power grid goes down, or maybe you're a first responder, rescue team, firefighter, paramedic, you name it, you need to know about this equipment. So SAT123.com, folks.
I am so tired of every woke ad. It's like a competition for who can be the wokest in these ads, who can go the most extreme. So what is Apple doing now?
So Apple has decided that God is a female and that God is Mother Nature and that Mother Nature is commissioning Apple to go carbon neutral.
So it's like a religion.
It's not like a religion. It is a religion. Let's see this ad.
As you can see, we've innovated and retooled almost every part of our process to reduce our impact on the planet. But there's still a lot more work to do.
And there's something else we wanted to share with you.
You're not trying to bribe Mother Nature with Apple swag.
It's Apple's very first carbon neutral product.
I want to see you do more of this.
You will.
When?
By 2030, all Apple devices will have a net zero climate impact.
All of them?
All of them.
They better.
They will.
That's embarrassing.
I know.
The producers are even cringing right in the chat. Oh my gosh. Yes. That is. I have to say, though, I want to give them kudos for creativity. Because it's, I'm like, whoa.
Well, that, now that's basically God woman saying that is on God it. Is behind Apple products. Like, God is approving. Like,
yeah.
If you buy one, you're like going to be serving God.
Yes.
Because God approves.
And according to their religion, 1,000,000%.
What the heck is carbon neutral, by the way, for them?
We all die. I'm serious. Like, every living thing is dead at that point. There's no carbon.
Did the people that made those watches, did they breathe out?
Right, exactly. If we are breathing, there is no carbon neutral as long as mankind is breathing.
Did they eat a cow? Any beef?
Probably not those people, though. I mean, they're pretty.
What the heck is carbon neutral? Because there is no such thing. You have to... It takes carbon to do everything in life.
The earth needs carbon.
There's no such thing as carbon neutral, and you people are insane.
Stop it.
You people are so insane, I can't even begin to every tree out there is sucking in carbon.
It needs it.
Okay. Every blade of grass
needs it.
Every plant
needs it.
There is no such thing as carbon neutral. You know what that is saying? It's oxygen neutral.
It's death to everything.
Oxygen neutral.
Oh my gosh. So wait.
HO2 neutral.
So wait. Big asteroid coming our way. Mm-hmm. Let it hit. Let it happen. Let it rip. Let it roll. We should not exist
in the universe.
At all.
Because of all the green things growing through carbon.
Get rid of the cows. Get rid of every animal.
Get rid of all trees.
Get rid of life.
Mars. Itself. Yes. Mars is the ideal.
Carbon neutral.
Carbon neutral.
Oh my gosh.
The moon?
Yes. Like it.
Now, I'm sure there's some carbon gases on the rest of the planets, but I'm not a scientist to say what kind of gases make up.
I'm enough Saturn. Of a scientist to know that when I was a kid, you know what they taught me?
What?
That the trees give life that we inhale.
Yeah.
And we give life that the trees inhale. And it is a symbiotic relationship. You will never get that out of my mind.
So
do they not teach that in schools anymore, though?
We do know that this is religion. Now they're making God, you know, female. I remember that Mother Nature. I grew up with that. But the fact that she is looking at him saying, you better, like, you're going to be punished by Mother Nature.
You know what? If this was a real God that cared about the planet, she'd be like, stop.
So are you allowed
the
to
mining
say that?
Of cobalt.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Stop utilizing all the silver
all
in the
plastic.
Cell phones.
That whole device is made on the backs of slaves. So Mother
it's
Nature.
An abomination.
So Mother Nature doesn't care about the kids in the cobalt mines.
No, she doesn't.
She doesn't care about them. Mm-hmm. She just cares about nature.
Yeah.
Not humans.
No, she just cares about Apple.
She obviously just cares about Apple. That is absolutely true. All right. So this digital system that they're pushing for, and be careful, guys, because there are people in our movement who are pushing for the Great Awakening, who are pushing for this transcendence of mind, who are saying that they, the powers that be, have kept energy from us. Mm-hmm. And when they unleash that, like the Tesla.
Perfect energy.
Yeah. Then we won't none of us will have to work anymore. Right. It's two sides of the same coin. It's both CIA. Okay. And the idea is not to free anyone. Free energy is not going to free anyone. Because guess what, guys? Michelle and I spent 4 hours yesterday outside working hard. Cleaning up our pig pen area, shoring up the sides so that the little piglets can't get out. They're absolutely adorable. I love when they run. We want to see them run more. So we're giving them more space. We had to cut down some trees. And
no,
it felt really...
We trimmed some branches.
We trimmed some basically trees. We had to cut up some trees, branches. Part of the tree. Anyways, we had a really good time, actually. Felt really accomplished, and we're gonna go back out there and do some more tomorrow. But beware of those who do not want you to be a part of life, who do not want you to be outside, who want you to be stuck on a computer.
No, but they like it when you do nature at parks. right? You can hike, you can go to parks, but don't you dare be a part of nature in your everyday living, mm-hmm. working with it, honing it, crafting it.
No, because if you are part of, if you're rural, then they can't keep track of you. I want to play this next clip where Jordan Peterson talks about the digital surveillance in China.
Example. God, this is going to happen here, I think, too. Although maybe people will fight it. If a traffic camera catches you jaywalking in China, digital ID system has you, has your blood now, has your genetic code, has your photograph. It can identify how you walk. So even if you can't see a face, you can be picked up by gait. It will convict you of jaywalking and take money out of your bank account with no intermediating judiciary at all, and show a picture of you to the people in the neighborhood so they know that you have jaywalked, and reduce your social credit score. And if your social credit score falls below a certain level, then you can't buy drinks from a vending machine. You can't play video games. You can't go on a train. You can't get out of your 15-minute city. All that's already in place in China.
So this is terrifying to me.
Yeah.
I mean, but it's not, because I know that we're going to overcome it with the power of God. But Leah, if we don't,
yeah, they're, you know, they in the London in the UK, they've got the ULEZ cameras everywhere, and supposedly they're going to be checking your license plate to take pictures of them to bill you for being in the city. This is only going to punish and hurt low-income people. Well, I don't think those cameras are just to track your license plate to fine you. They want to, they
use it fine as an F-I-N-E, not find.
Yeah,
just because I think it is to be able to find you.
Yeah, to find you, to find you, to send you a ticket, to get money from you. No, this is digital surveillance. This is a tracking system. This is MI, what do they got over there? MI76, what's the?
Five.
MI.
It's something like that.
Whatever they're
seeking. It's not MI. That's not what it is over
Isn't
there.
Isn't it?
No, I don't think so.
Oh.
It's not Mission Impossible.
Whatever their secret service is over there, whatever their CIA is.
It's escaping me at this moment. All right.
Well, it's not. It's designed to track you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, you know, what Bush brought in with the Patriot Act, to control us, to track us, to take, you know, you don't even need a warrant to surveil people. You can pick up indirect surveillance of people. And it's all designed to surveil us. So the more we get involved in this digital community, and so why we encourage you guys, while you are watching us on this internet,
it is MI6.
To use it.
You were right.
Thank you.
Leah gets a cookie.
While you are here using this to get out of the system. And if I always tell people this, if I never see you again, and there have been many, 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 many Resistance Chicks viewers who say, you know what? I've learned what I've learned. I'm going off grid. Goodbye. And I say, good. Go build your life. Then there are a lot of you that you're here because you're saying, okay, I'm going to stay and fight. What do we do? Where do we go? And that's why you're here. You're here to get the battle plans. You're here to get information on how to
spiritually.
Yeah. Well, and battle plans in the natural
strategies,
like strategies with like election integrity, and you know, everything is called a war room. Steve Bannon's war room, you know,
and Schroyer war
room. Alex Jones war room to get these strategies to take down the radical left and their left-wing agenda, and to learn what they're doing. In Australia, did you know, and of course you probably did think that this was happening, that the government of Australia hired a third party organization, paid them millions of taxpayer money to surveil taxpayer social media posts, and then send those posts back to the government. So then the government could go and then stop the free speech of Australians, especially around COVID. This was a setup around the world. We have never seen anything like this. We have never, and only on, and that's why we're here at 6 o'clock on a Friday night on Brideon.tv, when quite frankly, I'd probably rather be outside
100%
working on my garden. But that we have a job to do.
Yeah.
And if we do not do this, then we are going to end up like the Matrix, hooked up in their system. So guys, you're not just, this is not an entertainment program. All right.
Although I hope we entertain you.
Hopefully we can bring some joy and laughter to the downfall of humanity. And as we stop the downfall of humanity, we must have humor. Michelle and I used to be funnier, and I think about this all the time. When we first started, it was way more fun. And then when you come face to face with the evil and the devil, it's not as fun, but we must keep our humor hats on. So stick with me to the end of the show.
God laughs in the face of the devil.
He does. Scripture. Because at the end of the show, I have some clips from Biden and Kamala this week that will surely put a smile on your face as they did mine. But before we get there, we have to go through some dark passages. Now, I want to play this clip.
Eating your vegetables before you get to the dessert.
You could call it that. I want to do this clip here from I think this is an Australian parliament member exposing what his government has been doing to citizens.
Were any Australian government departments doing what we saw in the US with the so-called Twitter file scandal? So we asked that question of the Department of Home Affairs, and we found out that not only was the answer yes.
Who was this arrangement with?
So that's an internal procedural instruction to our staff about how to go about their engagement with the technology companies.
Facebook, to use an example, Meta has got a policy about mis and disinformation as it relates to COVID. And so we have been working with the platform.
Well, we had a particular role that arose from a Morrison government decision to take a particular to lean in on COVID dis and misinformation.
The Department of Home Affairs was contracting with a big multinational company, a PR company by the name of MNC Saatchi, and paying them $1 million of taxpayer money over 3 years.
We have a service provider that we have contracted to do it that looks across various platforms
to sort of search for things that might not fit the government narratives.
They identify mis and disinformation
over COVID-related social media posts.
We then look at the proposed referrals that they provide to us.
And then when they located them, they would refer them to another multinational company, be it, you know, Meta or Twitter, to be actioned.
And say, for your consideration against your own policy.
And so we had an Australian bureaucracy, an Australian government department, effectively being the middleman of censorship on social media.
The Department of Home Affairs is the whistleblower for big tech censorship.
And we found in the Twitter files all kinds of things that suggested that this relationship was not only tolerated, but that it was ongoing, regular, and collusive in a way that was kind of shocking.
Yeah, I think it's a scandal. I think it's an absolute scandal. And it's bad news. This is absolutely bad news for the Australian democracy.
Ukraine-born author Isaac Babel, he gave a speech at the first Soviet Writers' Congress, and he was asked if any important rights had been taken away. And he sarcastically answered, no, the only rights that have been taken away are the right to be wrong. And the crowd laughed. But he was making an important point, which is that in a free country, you can't have freedom without the freedom to be wrong.
You know, that's such a good point. That final statement, you can't have freedom without the freedom of the right to be wrong.
You know, we were talking with some friends, and they were saying how a relative of theirs went ahead and took the shot and got boosted because they, quote, trusted the science. And they were sending them videos from Dr. Artis and Lee Merritt. And I don't trust that science. Well, wait a minute. These people have a scientific degree. These people have a medical degree. Why are you trusting Dr. Fauci and these people over these people? Now, I want to jump in here because I don't have any clips for this particular segment. And quite frankly, I really don't want to play them. Donald Trump was interviewed by Megyn Kelly. And Donald Trump gave a presidential commendation to Anthony Fauci. Megyn Kelly pressed him on this. He said, I don't know who did that. I didn't do that. Well, wait, what? They are presidential commendations. You're supposed to know who you're giving them to. And he's Dr. Fauci. He's not some low-level, you know, like firefighter that you don't know who his name is and somebody decided to give him a commendation.
Or a chef that dies on your property.
It's Dr. Fauci, okay? And Trump needs to start coming out stronger. I mean, he gets the memo, guys, about the vaccine, but he cannot. He goes up to the edge. Like a couple weeks ago, we played a clip where he was talking about the lockdowns. We're never going to do that again. But when he's pressed on the vaccine, we save lives. I'm not going to talk about injuries. I'm not going to talk about anything else. And I am. When we need to understand that Donald Trump is not our savior.
He's not perfect.
And we can talk about election integrity, and we can talk about the fact that he won the election in 2020 and he should be president. But if we don't hold his feet to the fire, then more people are going to get hurt and more people are going to get injured. Okay. And so with this misinformation and this disinformation happening around the world, we all have to be our own fact checkers.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, fact check me. Fact check everybody. Fact check Mike Adams. Okay? Do your own research. Do not rely on any single person, because right now, I could get something wrong. I could read an article and I could have it backwards and I could have it wrong. So pray for those who have voices, pray for those who have shows, pray for those who are getting information out that they would see through the devil's lies, and pray for Donald Trump.
You know whose shows I trust the most are the people that when they get something wrong, they come and they admit it.
Yeah, that's true.
I've heard Mike do that. I've heard Scott Kesterson do it. Mm-hmm. You and I do it.
Yeah.
The people that just kind of like dance around it like, oh, no, I didn't do that. I'm going to tell you something. In January or February of 2020, Lee and I came out. We were looking at Dr. Fauci. And we're like, he's the man. Deborah Birx, she's the woman. This is going to be awesome. They're Trump people. We hadn't done our due diligence. We have had to eat crow on that. Now, we caught on within, 30 days?
We caught on to Anthony Fauci pretty quickly. But honestly, you know, Zero Hedge and a lot of the people that we trust on social media were on the one side saying COVID's really bad. COVID's really bad. Look what's happening in Italy.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, I do want kids not to be in public school. And I don't want people going to football games. And there was a great reset that God was kind of, you know, doing for this nation. And it was nice to have everything silent and quiet for a little bit. But the fear, the underlying fear killed so many people. And it was that underlying fear of COVID and that messaging of fear that in the beginning, I would say that we reported on a lot that we had to repent of and stop
the fear,
and stop quoting all the death numbers every single day. Because how did we know? We don't know how many people were really dying in Italy.
Fool me once, shame on you. And we pull that card. Shame on them for fooling us.
Yeah.
But still, you have to repent when you are fooled, mm-hmm. and you have to make it right. And we did that. Mm-hmm. And so make sure you're listening to people who are willing to admit when they are wrong.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things where now we can see it, when you're in the fog, you can't really see. You just know that something is wrong.
Right.
And when Nancy Pelosi is in Chinatown saying that COVID's no big deal, come to Chinatown.
And there shouldn't be any lockdowns. Mm-hmm. We're completely open. It's not a big deal. Like literally the left in the very beginning, and I think this was strategic, mm-hmm. was downplaying it because they knew that we would jump on the train of whatever they say, we do the opposite. And guys, that works a lot of the time, but you can't make it your complete life-altering.
It also, at the beginning, was like the whole world was uniting around the United States. The whole world was uniting around Donald Trump. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. People were listening to Trump. People were listening to Anthony Fauci. You can't be friends with these people. They are not our friends. And that's the message that we have to send to Donald Trump. These people are never going to be our friends. They're never going to go along with us on something. That's exactly right. Okay. So I want you guys to know that we are going to always try to bring you the truth, no matter if we're wrong to begin with. Okay. But I can tell you on the other half of this break, and we're going to take here in a second, there's something that I know we're not wrong about. And that is the sexualization of children. So this week, Congress had a hearing on these horrible, awful LGBT brainwashing books in schools. There are clips that I'm not going to play on Bridie on with Senator Kennedy reading what was in Boys Don't Always Like Blue and Genderqueer.
They're pornographic.
They are absolutely pornographic. And if you're on Facebook, then you can't really talk about it. And if you're on YouTube, then you can't really talk about it. But if you're on Brideon,
you can talk about it. I love that we can actually speak freely here. We can say what God has put on our hearts to say.
Yes.
So I want you guys to support the Brideon Network. And I know we tell you this every week. And you do a really good job of doing so.
Yes.
The Brighteon team is so on fire. All of these shows, all the little graphics that you see, all this little lower third right here that you see, these people are rocking it out every single week, and they are working long shifts, okay? You don't even know. It's a very small, tight-knit team, and they're running this stuff all day long. So how do we support the Brighteon Network? You go to the Brighteon store, you use promo code CHICKS, and you buy amazing products that not only fill your soul, fill your body with awesome stuff, but you're supporting getting the truth out there.
They've got nascent iodine. I take nascent iodine every day. That's great for when the poop hits the fan. It's good if you're in the goiter belt. You need things like that. They've got turmeric on sale. So hit the Brighteon store and stock up now.
All right, we'll see you guys right back after these messages.
Your own government has the power to activate a kill switch on all telecommunications, instantly shutting down all private phone calls and texts. An EMP weapon or solar flare can achieve the same result. Rolling blackouts or permanent power outages will also take out the power supply to cell tower antennas, rendering mobile devices all but useless. During these emergencies, how do you stay in touch with the important people in your life anywhere on the planet? The answer is the Bivy Stick at SAT123.com. The Bivy Stick is a two-way satellite text messaging device that uses a satellite constellation, not cell towers, to send and receive text messages. It works anywhere on planet Earth, including in war zones or blackout areas. In unpredictable times, the Bivy Stick helps you stay connected when it matters most. Visit SAT123.com to get one while they're still available.
Experts agree that cardio, muscle, and brain exercise are critical to overall health. But what if you discovered you were missing an exercise that the Surgeon General says was just as important? It's called Juvent, the first clinically proven micro-impact platform in the world. Juvent's clinically proven, patented technology discovers the right frequency of micro-impact for your body. Simply stand on it for 12 seconds and calibrates the Juvent to the uniqueness of your size and body mass.
Brought up the webpage here of the Juvent webpage so people know what we're talking about. It's a platform, it's a micro-impact platform. And I literally use it every day.
Knee pains and joint problems and back pains that they've seen resolve with using Juvent.
So before we hit the Senate hearing on the horrible books that really should be banned, I'm going to go back to the censorship real quick. I got this email from Joel Salatin, our favorite
lunatic farmer,
and he wanted everybody to know that he had heard from a friend of his. Maybe you've heard of her. Her name is Dr. Sina McCullough. She is a co-author with the books Beyond Labels. And she's talking about her YouTube channel and how censorship has really curbed their and cramped their style. I found the itemized list of topics we cannot discuss on YouTube. It's long and some are open-ended. Here's a link. Here's some highlights. Overall, we can't talk about vaccines or COVID. There are entire sections detailing what you can't say about each topic, including you can't make claims that achieving herd immunity through natural infection is safer than vaccinating the population. That's a quote. So it's best we don't mention vaccines or COVID at all on YouTube. Dr. Hazan mentioned ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine in our latest interview with her. So that video should be pulled. Dr. Hazan has actually been saving lives. I've seen her. I follow her on Twitter. She will post pictures of really low oxygen, like in the 70s and 80s. And she does ivermectin. She sometimes uses hydroxy, but she uses doxycycline. And sometimes she'll use a steroid. And she's never lost a patient.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't say that.
Right.
It's so very strange. So pulling that video. Additionally, the video I recorded as bonus content for our subscribers where I made a special version of chicory root tea should be pulled from YouTube, if it's on YouTube. I'm not sure if we posted there or just on Rumble. In that video, I cite a peer-reviewed study that reported chicory root can remedy COVID. that would be censored. It needs to be pulled. Moving forward, I think any video where we talk about herbal remedies should not be put on YouTube. Michelle, where do we usually go to get herbal remedies?
YouTube.
And answers for medical things.
I used to go to YouTube, by the way.
We also can't talk about certain alternative treatments in general, such as ozone therapy, colloidal therapy, B17, apricot seeds, high-grade hydrogen peroxide, or black salve.
Pretty much everything you can find on Brighteon.com and thebrightonstore.com.
I actually use black salve to draw out splinters. It works wonderfully, but we can't talk about it. The FDA has declared it dangerous, and now YouTube, working with the WHO, says it's medical misinformation. Under the alternative treatment and cancer section, YouTube states you can't make claims that alternative treatments are safer or more effective than approved treatments for cancer, which is very interesting because can you even talk about cancer if it's not chemotherapy and radiation? We just recorded an episode about YouTube's new policy, and I quoted a peer-reviewed study that reported treatment with garlic was more effective than approved treatments for cancer and didn't have any side effects. So if that clip is on YouTube, we need to remove it. YouTube also states that you can't have content that encourages the use of home remedies, prayer, or rituals in place of medical treatment for COVID-19, such as consulting a doctor or going to the hospital.
So forget prayer. Prayer is out.
So if you consult a doctor and the doctor tells you what to do, you can't make a video of what the doctor told you what to do.
Right. Especially if the doctor told you to pray.
Or if the doctor told you to take ivermectin.
Right.
This statement reiterates that there is a lot we can no longer say in the medical realm. Again, moving forward, home remedies should not be shared on YouTube, but uploaded to Rumble instead. This is the first time I've seen mention of prayer in the guidelines. That means they are expanding in several areas. And of course, it's up to their discretion. My friend who is a marketing director says they use AI to detect words and sometimes will censor you based on the AI algorithm. It's very interesting. So Facebook, as of yet, does not censor based on your words. But YouTube will censor you. You could have, you know, sheep shearing in your title, and they recognize that you can get around that. So if you say the word ivermectin or censored in your words, but what's funny is I think they even have AI to detect it if you put up a meme or a picture of it.
They do, and you want to know how I have proof of that?
How?
So Bards Fest is coming up in 1 week. We're very excited about that. You guys can join us. Go to bardsfm.com/Bards Fest, September 21st through the 23rd. You will see on there a flyer. We have pictures of all of the people that are coming and then all of their names. There was a specific person that I was trying to find if they were on Facebook or not. And I put their name in the search bar on Facebook. And the flyer came up. But I hadn't tagged their name in the post.
Oh, wow.
So they read the person's name in the flyer. Which should not come as a surprise, because what were you doing with your, you were doing your songs, right? And you could take a picture and it would scan the words right up out of there.
Wow.
Just saying,
wow.
Facebook is reading your memes.
You know what they don't seem to care about, though, is kids and words. Words do matter. Mm-hmm. Words do matter when kids read porn and pornographic material in school. So I have two witnesses that were before Congress, the Senate this week. I want you to hear their statements, a couple statements that they had to the Senate committee this week.
School boards across the country cut the mics on parents who read passages from these books stating, this is inappropriate, there are children in the room. Yet those same books are being provided to children in schools. While it may seem politically convenient to scapegoat parents, I ask you to read some of these explicit paragraphs and look at these sexual images with your children or your grandchildren, and then tell your constituents whether you consider such content educational. As a society, we don't put Playboy in kindergartens. This isn't considered a book ban, but common sense. Strangely, media coverage over this issue frames any discussion at all as tyranny. It is disingenuous at best and deceptive at worst. School boards across the country cut the mics on parents who read passages from these books stating, this is inappropriate, there are children in the room. Yet those same books are being provided to children in schools. While it may seem politically convenient to scapegoat parents, I ask you to read some of these explicit paragraphs and look at these sexual images with your children or your grandchildren, and then tell your constituents whether you consider such content educational. As a society, we don't put Playboy in kindergartens. This isn't considered a book ban, but common sense.
Chairman Durbin, Ranking Member Graham, members of the Committee on the Judiciary, thank you for inviting me to testify. My name is Max Eden, and I'm a research fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. To put it bluntly, books aren't being banned, and it's good that they are. The media keeps using the word banned, but that word doesn't mean what you think it means. In common usage, banned means made unavailable, yet the most banned genderqueer is still available on Amazon. The same, unfortunately, can't be said for Ryan Anderson's When Harry Became Sally. Only books on one side of that issue, it seems, actually get banned. Rather, this conversation focuses on school library availability. If ban means made unavailable, then virtually every book ever published has been effectively banned in school libraries. But that's not even what this word means here. Indeed, a book can be both banned and totally available in a school library. That's because the media has accepted the expansive definition of ban offered by PEN America. If a book has been taken off the shelves, reviewed, and placed back on the shelves, it has, according to PEN, been banned. If a school places a parental permission requirement on a book, it has, according to PEN, been banned. If a school moves a book to a guidance counselor's office, it has, according to PEN, been banned. In their report, Banned in the USA, PEN draws parallels in all this to Nazi Germany. Now, my public school library didn't carry Mein Kampf. Was it banned? I don't know. But I do know that I've read a few books about this era since, and I've so far missed the part where the Nazi Party forced schools to relocate books to guidance counselors' offices. To provide a linguistically honest account, the Heritage Foundation's Jay Green, Madison Marino, and I set out to assess how many of the 2,532 books in Penn's 2022 report that were labeled as banned were actually removed from school libraries. We did this with one simple trick. We checked the card catalogs. As it turns out, nearly three-quarters of the books that Penn labeled as banned were still in school libraries. Careful analysis also belies the claims that books are being banned because of race or LGBT issues. Whereas PEN America labels the Black Lives Matter-inspired The Hate U Give as the fifth most banned book, we found it available in every single school library in question. And when the Washington Post examined over 1,000 review requests made by parents, less than 7% mentioned LGBT without also containing the word sexual, although those requests may have contained words like pornographic or obscene. And that's what this issue is really about, the provision of sexually explicit material to children by public employees. This is a question of judgment. Few would say it's unreasonable to keep Hustler, with its close-up genital photographs, out of school libraries. And few would insist that Romeo and Juliet, with its lyrical allusions to sex, should be removed. Communities must draw the line somewhere between those two points. But where exactly? Take the previously mentioned book, Genderqueer. That graphic novel famously includes a picture of a strap-on dildo blowjob. Is this okay for kids? Some think that it is, and some think that it isn't. You know something weird is going on, though, when parents try to read passages of these books at school board meetings, and the school board cuts them off because they insist the material is too obscene to be read out loud. I guess kids could be listening? Great for them to read, but unacceptable for them to hear? I think that's the principle, maybe. It's kind of gross to say, and I don't want to, but this hearing has been called, and we really can't have an honest discussion without knowing what we're actually talking about. We're talking about books with explicit passages about fisting, butt plugs, analingus, the spit or swallow decision, and rape. I won't read those verbatim, but I will read a passage from a few of the most banned books. From the fourth most banned, All Boys Aren't Blue. I knew that what was happening wasn't supposed to happen. Cousins weren't supposed to do these things with cousins. And from the also fourth most banned, Lawn Boy. In the fourth grade at a church youth group, in fact, there were even some mouths involved. 10-year-olds performing sodomy, underage incest, strap-on dildo blowjobs. Is this okay for kids? Judging by the fuss made by the media, NGOs, and some Democratic politicians, it seems there is a politically significant contingent that believes this is all actually very good for kids. But personally, I'm not at all troubled by the fact that some moms believe that this is inappropriate, and that some school boards agree. And I find it kind of weird that the United States Senate is troubled enough to call a hearing about all this. Thank you.
So this idea that banning any kind of book is wrong is absolutely absurd.
And it's not, he said it's not even banning the book. You know, libraries are really small. You know what they're doing in Canada? They're getting rid of, in certain schools, they're getting rid of any book that is not inclusive. So basically any book from like pre-2006 is just being taken out of the library. I read one woman said, I think it was a teenager, said half the books in my school library are gone. They're replacing them. So you know you can't put every book
in the library.
So it's
okay for them to remove books from the library, but it's not okay for anyone else to do.
Yeah, so Senator Kennedy actually read way more graphic passages from those books.
It's a clip that you, honestly, I think you should listen to. We're not going to play it here, but it is really important to hear it, even though it's cringe and it is pornographic, because at this point, these people are so...
They have sexualized children to the point that they say, well, they can read this on their own while they're...
No, but what I mean is they are so in a delusion that these things are okay, but you can't read them out loud. It's like, no. You need to know what these words are. Mm-hmm. We need to decide exactly what our children have access to. There's a reason why children can't go into strip clubs. There's a reason why they can't go into XXX stores. There's a reason for these things. So if they can't go there, then why is it okay for us to bring the XXX store to them in the schools?
Yeah, so these particular books are really, if they were about straight relationships, it'd be really bad. But it's even worse because these are things that are completely unnatural. The kids have no idea what they are. Okay, do not write to me. I still don't know what a booty plug is. I don't want to know. He mentioned, he like kind of went over a few things on that. I don't want to know what they are. I still don't know. But they want your kids to know.
Yeah.
So that's why they want those books in the library, because they would never come naturally to anyone.
Yeah.
Okay, you would never, ever, ever naturally come across these things. And they know that. That's why they want these books in the library. That's why they have to start at 2 and 3 years old.
It's grooming, it's child molestation.
You might be the wrong gender. Now, I don't have the clip, and we have to bring up that clip for the next part of our show. And I'll just tell you what it is. Sure. Tell them about the Oreo clip.
It's a little kid, and the dad sits, or I'm assuming it's a dad. A man sits down, and he offers the kid a stack of money. It doesn't show how much it is, but
it's
they're
like hundreds.
Sitting in this stack.
It looks like a couple $1,000s.
It's probably a couple $1,000s. It has the little thing wrapped around it. And he sets it in front of the kid. And he's like, so do you want this money here? Or, and he opens up a fresh pack of Oreos and pulls out two Oreos. And he's like, two freshly opened Oreos. And the kid's like, the Oreos. And then another guy who's commenting on the video comes in and says, can I just comment real quick that there are parents who, and not just parents, but, you know, powers that be, that want children at that age to be able to make the decision on their gender. And he's like, you people are sick.
So no, the idea of the parent would be like, no, do you know how many Oreos you could buy with this? And then the kid would be like, wow. So a parent needs to be like, you know, you're actually a boy. Oh, okay, got it.
Yeah.
That's the idea. Parents are supposed to guide you. All right, I got a couple more clips for you to make you smile this week. Kamala Harris, you know, the Democrats hate her. No one likes her. The African American community, well, she's not even American, really. She's like Indian and Jamaican. Okay. And I think one of her ancestors was a slave owner in Jamaica.
Yep.
So it's hard for the African American community in America. They don't really like her. Nobody really likes her. And should she run as a running mate? That's up for debate. However, you're gonna see some videos here. You're gonna see her compare 9/11 to January 6th.
Oh, I saw that one. That's
and we're gonna end with Kamala dancing. Let's see this compilation.
Do you think she is the best running mate, though?
She's the vice president of the United States. So people say to me, "Well, why isn't she doing this or that?" I said, "Because she's the vice president. That's the job description. You don't do that much, you know. You know."
It's not a. No one's making it about personalities. I mean, like, it's just a simple question. Do you think Kamala Harris is the best running mate for President Biden? You've said she's excellent. That's farther than Speaker Pelosi went. But do you think she's the? I'm not trying to throw anything into turmoil. I actually think it's a pretty simple question. Do you think Kamala Harris is the best running mate for President Biden? Yes or no?
I mean, I don't know what else I can say other than she would be an excellent running mate and an excellent vice president. I don't know whether President Biden has named his running mate. We're going to a convention next summer. It's a year away from now. And we're going to go through that process. So,
I mean, you say, I don't know why you can say, the answer is you could say yes. You could say yes. I think Kamala Harris is the best vice president and the best running mate for President Biden. That's the answer you could be giving right now. Yes, she is.
So I've not seen any public opinion polling. You might be a stronger vice presidential running mate than her or me or anybody else. I don't know who else, if you're talking about the polling, but I will tell you, as a matter of substance and public policy, she'd be an excellent choice.
Wow.
And she and the president have done an excellent job.
Not only a place on our calendars, but a place in our collective memory. December 7th, 1941, September 11th, 2001, and January 6th, 2021.
That was hard to watch, the dancing at the end.
The shirt,
you know.
Did somebody throw paint up happy? On her?
Hang on, because people don't wear enough color anymore.
That is an 80s shirt.
And it's colorful.
That's got 80s splash shirt.
Like color.
Come on now.
You're the vice president of the United States. I would hope you would have a bigger clothing budget.
You're more upset about the outfit than the dancing.
And the fact that she knew the lyrics to the song, which I thought was hilarious.
The dancing was
pretty
good,
so relatable.
Actually. Yeah, but she compared 9/11 to January 6th. And my favorite of that clip was Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, it's in the job description. It's in the title. You're the vice president. You don't do that much.
Oh my gosh.
Everybody knows.
All right, so Biden's flubs this week, and then I do have Donald Trump weighing in. So I do want to let you know on the clip, there's a very interesting clip where he's with Prime Minister Modi from India. I play it twice, and you're going to see him leaning in at Meloni, who is the president of Italy, looking like he's going to sniff her.
Oh.
And then Modi pulls her back.
One
knows
what she
back.
Smells like. Everyone knows what she
back.
Smells like.
But
she,
I love that.
She looks nice.
I love that Prime Minister Modi is like, we all got to
stop. We got to control Biden.
We got to parent this guy. Oh,
it's a world effort. Global effort.
Yeah. He also says that he was a professor. He never really professed. Go ahead. Let's roll these clips.
Democracy is under attack. And we got to fight for it. I taught at the University of Pennsylvania for 4 years, and I used to teach political theory.
How many years?
Political
Folks,
theory.
You always that hear. Is? Every generation has to fight for democracy.
On day one of my new administration, I will terminate every Green New Deal restriction that is destroying the U.S. economy. With skyrocketing energy costs. Starting with Biden's preposterous electric vehicle mandate. You know, some people want to drive for more than an hour and a half. Sean Fain, do you know who that is? The president, and he's a respected guy, president of the United Auto Workers, cannot even think about allowing all electric cars. They will be made, every one of them, in China. And the auto industry in America will cease to exist. And they have to, if they do all electric cars, none of them will be made here. They have all of the minerals, they have all of every form of material, every form of everything they have. We have a thing called gasoline, and they don't have that, but they have to do something. And you know, what you really want is you want it. Some people like an electric car, some people like, you gotta have choice. Hybrids maybe are good, but you gotta have choice. They're forcing it. Think of it. California had big blackouts this week, and they had a restriction on electric cars taking any electricity. You believe it? And then they wanna go all electric. The whole thing is crazy. There is already a giant Eatlot. We call it an Eatlot. They don't go far along. Are very expensive, and the consumer must be given a choice. The consumer wants choice just like we want school choice. We want choice in what kind of a car we buy. So vote for Trump, and I will stop this madness immediately.
It is madness. Everything Biden is madness. He doesn't even know what day it is.
Yeah,
he said the other day he wanted to go take a nap.
He did. I missed that clip.
I mean, I want to take a nap too, but if I was president, yeah. I wouldn't say it out loud.
No, he says he wants to take a nap. He says, if I say anything, I'll get in trouble. He's just this, you know, everybody knows. Even the prime minister of India is like,
hey,
you're Biden over here, old man.
All right, back on track, guys. Don't forget to join us at Bard's Fest, bardsfm.com/Bard's Fest. We cannot wait to see you there next week. It's going to be fantastic. You can watch the video that we did this week.
And you don't have to come for all 3 days.
And you can come for just a couple days or just a day if you can make it on Saturday.
In Flemingsburg, Kentucky, it's going to be awesome.
Yes, there it is right there.
Food, family, fellowship, camping, and an awesome kids camp. You guys, they're going to learn survival skills.
Baptism, revival, you name it. It's going to be there, so you don't want to miss it. We want you guys to join us. And you can always join us every week right here on Bridie on TV at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We love you guys. God loves you. God bless. We'll see you next time right here, Bridie on TV.